And one of my mentors many years ago said to me, surround yourself with good friends, and that way you will ensure that you have never strayed away from good things. Surround yourself with good friends, and that way you will ensure that you have never strayed away from good things. This was probably one of the most valuable advices that I've received, and I've kept it close to my heart. Friendships and relationships and partnerships that are built around the correct understanding of the gospel have helped me immensely in my personal Christian life and in my understanding of ministry. So I have personally valued relationships and nurtured friendships and pursued like-minded men over the years from all parts of the world, all over the world. And now by God's grace, even as I look into this room, there are many men. I have friends going back not just a few years, but decades. And friendship not just because we get along well and we can have fun together, which is also true, but friendship and partnership that has been built around the cause of the gospel, for the sake of the gospel, for the growth of the gospel. So I was telling you this morning, I've known Arvind since 1999. I've known Rajesh Chandelia since 2006. I've enjoyed getting to be friends and getting to know Edison and Nelson and Stephen and Rajkumar and Avinash and Srikant, and just the list just keeps going on and on and on. At least I think I'm their friend. You know, I'm sure you guys can also think of names, and you also have a list of friends that God has blessed you with. I'm sure you can do that. And this, keeping that thing in mind, one of the things that Brother Andy said to me a couple of years ago, what has just lodged deep in my head and my heart. While talking about friends, he said once, Lord, please keep me or kill me, lest I disappoint my friends. Lord, please keep me or kill me, lest I disappoint my friends. I mean, this is a very intense prayer. Some pretty heavy stuff, right? Some pretty heavy stuff to think about. If we have good friends around us, they form some kind of good peer pressure on us. And God often uses this good, godly peer pressure as a tool, as a means of grace to keep us from falling away. The problem in India is far too many gospel workers are alone by themselves. They do not have good friends and friendships that are based on the gospel. They do not have people speaking into their lives. They are their own men, self-made men, doing things by themselves on their own, no accountability, no friends to ask them hard questions and examine their lives and to examine their intentions, their motives, their ambitions. Why do you do what you do? Why are you the kind of person that you are? What drives you? Why would you do this? Why would you take this decision? Why would you do these things? Nobody's there to ask us these questions. While it is true that first and foremost our co-elders in our local churches should be such kind of friends, and if we are married, our wives should also provide us with such kind of friendship, but it do us much good to have more friends beyond the walls of our local churches. Men who could invest in our lives in these ways. Actually, sometimes having friends who are not invested in the same work and don't have same relationships as we have tend to have better insights into the issues, problems, etc. that we can't see or understand, or the people around us who are close to us are unable to see and provide an insight into. So therefore, I would encourage us to actively and proactively seek to build friendships with other gospel workers and find ways to partner with them in order to see the growth of the gospel. So I really hope and I really pray that this conference would be a vehicle to provide many of us a platform, an opportunity, an impetus to seek out men who are godly, who love the Lord, who love the gospel, and have a deep desire to see this nation reached. And it is with these brothers, with you all, I hope that many of us here will form deep bonds that will be God's kind and gracious gifts to us for the rest of our lives. So very closely related and very similar to the previous purpose of this conference, as I've just said, is the first purpose that we gathered here for was to encourage one another to be faithful and to contend for the gospel. See, ministry is often difficult, time-consuming, discouraging, and unfortunately, often many people around us have no clue about our lives. They have no idea what we are going through. Some of it is because of our own foolishness, our own sin, but some of it just seems to be part of ministry. Some of us might have good teams, and God in His goodness might have blessed us with good friends and in a ministry around us. But generally, and that's the feedback I've got from many of you, generally there are many who are alone, who are lonely, who are just trying to carry on week by week, day by day. And you can't just say to them, keep calm and carry on. That's why we need to partner. That's why we need to fellowship. That's why we need to network. That's why we need to associate with like-minded brothers across this nation to encourage one another to remain faithful, to persevere, not to give up, and not to compromise, not to sell your souls, to contend for the truth, to fight for the truth, to contend for the gospel. So how do we remain faithful, and how do we combat the onslaught of all the aberrant teachings that just seems to be coming from every direction? How do we do that? How do we face this massive wave of health, wealth, and prosperity, and this extreme, crazy Pentecostalism, which is not thought through at all, unbiblical seeker-sensitive movements, crazy cults, William Branham, I don't know if you guys know about these things, God the Mother Church. I mean, it's not just somewhere out there in America that Matt was talking about. It's here, it's in Lucknow. How do we remain faithful in the face of growing opposition from the right-wing Hindu parties that seem to have the support of the ruling government? How do we deal with the onslaught of extreme right-wing ideology on the one hand, and then deal with increasing liberalism, secularization, modernization, and westernization of our cities and towns and smaller towns and villages? It's just increasingly urbanization. How do you deal with that? How do you faithfully shepherd your young people? How do you do that? Who are increasingly buying into Western rationalization and therefore rejecting their parents' faith? Or have just embraced Epicurean lifestyle. Eat and drink and be merry for we die tomorrow. That's it. Eat, drink and be merry. How do you deal with these things? Well, I hope that conferences like these and future gatherings, if the Lord allows, will provide and serve as a platform to encourage us all to remain faithful, to persevere, to contend, to be faithful in our teaching, in our doctrines, to be faithful in our lives, in our walk with the Lord. I hope that we will understand that we need to continue to contend for the gospel. And in order for this, we need to uplift one another in our prayers. That's why we attempted to give a little bit time to hear from one another and pray for one another. That's exactly why. We weren't killing time. We weren't running out of things to do. We intentionally wanted to hear what's going on in the life of few brothers, and then we wanted to pray for them. And hopefully the Lord will bring it to your mind, and when you're back in your cities, you might pray, let me pray for this brother. I think we need to develop humility and godliness and be willing to hear one another and learn from one another about life and doctrine and to encourage one another. That's why we come together. One of my pastors many years ago said to me, godly men are easily edified. Godly men are easily edified. I find that very true in my life. I have to constantly check my heart and ask myself questions. Am I willing to be encouraged, edified, challenged by my fellow brothers? regardless of their background, regardless of their culture, regardless of their education, regardless of my perception of their education, their culture, their background, their intellectual ability? Or does that stop me and hamper me and prevents me from receiving from them? What do I consider myself? What do I think about myself? Would I receive instructions only from Westerners? White men? White people? Only from the very elite? Only from the very educated? From those who have been to the West? Only from very impressive? Or only from my culture? It can go the other way also. Only from someone from my region, my language, somebody who just looks like me. One of the ways we'll build relationships with one another is by being open to receive encouragement and by being willing to be challenged by one another to contend for the truth. You know, relationships are like two-way street. Two-way street. It takes time and effort to invest, but it pays off handsomely in the long run. It takes time. Not only do we have to be willing to receive from anyone and any under certain parameters, but we also have to be willing to give. So let me tell you a very practical way of giving, a very practical way of encouraging one another. As we try to build relationships with like-minded brothers and brothers, is by visiting one another. Is by willing to go to one another's churches, by preaching at one another's churches, by meeting with one another. And sometimes just being willing to go and be a part of this worship service. I don't have to come to your church every time, and I don't have to only come only so that I can teach and preach. I must be willing to just come and just participate, just so that you might be encouraged by my presence and vice versa. See, you and I need to stop being obsessed and stop being over-concerned by just my only church. It's almost as if, I am dumb, I don't know about you, I forget, I think this is my church. That's not my church. That's not my church. We need to be willing to look beyond. So that's why we have to take out time. We have to put it in a schedule during the year. We should be willing to spend, invest, travel, move, go and see and visit others. Not just in Bombay. Not just in Goa. Not just in Delhi. Not just in Bangalore, but Lucknow, and maybe Nagpur, and maybe a smaller city like Vinukonda one day, and maybe a smaller town that nobody knows, Jhansi. And we'd be willing to do that for the sake of the gospel. 1.3 billion Indians. 1.3 billion Indians. What do we care about? What are we obsessed with? We should be able to think about the growth, development of other churches, how to invest in them. Not only those churches that look like me. Not only those churches that speak in Hindi. Not only churches that are Zion churches. And when I mean by other churches, I don't just mean by another branch of my church, my denomination, my association. I mean an entirely distinct body of believers. That is very selfish. All I cared about is Zion churches. We must be willing to share resources with one another. And as we get hold of good resources that seem to be good for my church, then that must be good for other churches too. Rather than keeping those resources just to ourselves, we must be willing to spread the benefits of good resources to others. Remember, it's better to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Far too many gospel workers in this country are very selfish, including me. I face this temptation again and again. I don't want to share the resources that I have access to, whether it is people, partners, books, conferences, teachers. I sometimes end up finding myself busy building my own empire, trying to build a name just for myself, trying to establish myself as a leader of a ministry, not concerned about other brothers in churches around the country. Isn't it ironic that we have grand visions for ourselves, our ministry, but super myopic vision for other churches? Tiny vision for other churches and other brothers, other ministry? No wonder the state of Christianity is what it is in India even now. If history is correct, and if the traditions are true, 2,000 years of Christianity in India, with father of modern missions, William Carey, bringing the gospel to India almost 300 years ago. And what have we done? I mean, how can we not be proactive? How can we not proactively think of ways to invest in the lives of other brothers and other churches? How can we not do that? Isn't it very self-centered, selfish of us, me? Our nation needs to hear about Jesus. Our churches need to be strengthened and invested in. Our young men in ministry need to be given the vision of true biblical churches. But far too many times you and I are worried and preoccupied by the worries of our little fellowships and the little churches, and we are unable to either lift, unwilling, or even unable to lift up our heads and to see how the Lord might use us to encourage other brothers around us. We suffer from siege mentality, from this martyr's complex. Oh, everyone is against us. Only we are the true, faithful remnant. Everyone else is off. Only we are right. That kind of mindset is cancerous. It is eating up a church. And the devil is very pleased to see us self-destroy ourselves. Do we pause to think about the massive lostness, darkness, masses of people heading to eternal damnation? You know, actually, as you and I engage ourselves intentionally in investing in others selflessly, without any desires to control them, with no strings attached, without any desires to make reports to get more fun, without any desires to get more popularity, to get credit for some work or recognition of any sorts, or without any desire to see that work as an extension of my work, my ministry, my church, my brand, my network, we would find that in most of these cases, we would end up being the ones who are encouraged. Encouraged with what God is doing. What God is doing in different churches. In the lives of other brothers. Last 2.5 days have been one of the most encouraging days of my life. As I see brothers from different parts of the country faithfully serving. Some of you don't have big churches. Some of you are struggling financially. Some of you are bivocational. But you love the Lord. And some of you just wanted to be here so that you'd be encouraged. And I've been encouraged by your life, by your ministry. Remember Proverbs chapter 11, 24-25. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Don't just write it off as these are just proverbs, just wise sayings. This is generally how God works. It's not about my work. It's not about my ministry. It's not about your ministry. It's not about your name. It's not about my name. It's not about my little empire. It's not my friends. It's not my partners. It's not my funding agents. It's not my supporters. Not only do we want to encourage one another to be faithful and to contend for the gospel in general, we also want to encourage practices that encourage, promote healthy and biblical ecclesiology. We live in a time where people have no patience to look at the scripture, to look to the scripture. And we have no time and patience to see what the word of the Lord has to say to us about the life of the church and how it should be structured, organized, and operated. We have no time for careful exegesis and see what God's word has to say to us about the churches today. We do not trust God's word enough to think that God would have given us everything we need in order to structure our corporate gathering and corporate worship life. Because of our lack of total trust in God's goodness and sufficiency of scripture, we would rather look to the world and turn to the world and learn from either businesses or other religious movements and try to glean lessons from them on how to organize ourselves and how to grow and how to be effective and how to be relevant and how to be influential and how to be contextual. From them, the world will teach us how to do. The church that belongs to Him. We prefer to learn from the world rather than to hear God's voice in and through His scripture to see and hear what He has to say to us and how to remain faithful. It is embarrassing how often Christian leaders and pastors think that God's word is not relevant, not contextual enough to lead us and to guide us in matters of how to do evangelism, how to disciple, how to do church. So we work very hard to come up with ideas, practices, methodologies, strategies that seem to have the veneer, an outward appearance of biblical Christianity, but is far removed from His word. And we are trying to do the work of the Lord using these things. At least that's what we think that we are doing. That's what's going in our mind. Isn't it ironical that in our strategies, in our methodologies, in our practices, we scream loud and we say, we proclaim to the world, we do not trust God's word. God's word is not enough. But then some of us might have the willingness, patience, and time and desire to turn to God's word. But maybe many of us potentially lack training, resources, and the ability to really glean from God's word and to apply it to a context today. And I really pray, we hope that a conference like this and God willing future gatherings would in some small way give us little tools that would help us to explore and understand biblical practices that promote and encourage healthy ecclesiology that would do good to our churches. I pray and I hope that this conference might be the beginning of being set in that trajectory. I hope that we will find friends here who would encourage us in that direction. And finally, one more reason why we gathered here, at least one desire that we had in our hearts. We want to see the development of a pan-India indigenous pastors fellowship with the purpose of accomplishing all the five things that we've mentioned before. So I hope that many of us, as we have gathered here, and as we have a clear understanding of the gospel, as we have unity around the gospel, and as we develop friendships, and as we develop partnership because of the gospel, and as we encourage one another to be faithful, to contend for the truth, to contend for the gospel, as we learn to trust one another more, as we are more vulnerable with one another, as we genuinely understand the desires and motives of one another, I hope, as we encourage one another to practice methodologies that are faithful, biblical, in whole of this process, we see slowly a movement and a fellowship of brothers coming together. And what would that do? What would that do? Not for fundraising, not for more money, not for some ministry or some individual getting glory, but hopefully so that that would in turn help grow the growth of the gospel in a nation. And it would spawn a healthy, true, biblical, faithful church planting movement, or even movements. So I hope you see that a clearer understanding of the gospel and friendships developed because of this will in turn encourage the growth of the gospel and the church in India. Now, just on a very quick side note and slight digression, I say this with no animosity or ill will towards my expat friends here. While I'm super grateful for all that my Western friends have done for me personally and have done for all of us and are still doing for the Indian church, and I've personally benefited from them, I've benefited immensely from my friends and church in the West, and I continue to be influenced by them. I want to make that very clear, because we're part of one universal church, global family. But I think it is time for pastors and men and churches in this country to first seek the face of the Lord. First turn our eyes to the Lord. Seek His face. Seek His strength. And trusting in Him, along with other brothers, work hard to collaborate and partner with other brothers. I know I'm belaboring the same point. I haven't said anything new. I know that. But as we do that, and as we truly develop an independence, a separate, distinct fellowship, not necessarily formal. I'm not talking about an organization. I'm not talking about a new registered charity. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about fellowship, true, genuine friendship. I hope and I pray that would just initiate, kickstart a more solid, faithful, Bible-driven gospel growth in India. A gospel growth that has never been witnessed till today. This is my prayer. This is my hope. This was the expectation. This is why we did this. So will you please pray with me? Will you please pray with me that God in His goodness will allow this to happen? If it is indeed according to His will. And if it is His will, many of you have asked, when are we going to do it again? If it is His will, we will certainly meet again.